Well, time to talk on the show now about a Football League legend. Steve Death was one of those players who never graced the major leagues, but is fondly remembered for some incredible performances. Steve was known as the shortest goalkeeper in the league at just 5'7", and his story is told by my guest, writer Alan Hester, in a new book called Tiny Keeper. And I'm delighted to say Alan joins me now. Alan, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thanks for asking me.
So, a legend, specifically at Reading, where he played hundreds and hundreds of games. Why have you particularly chosen to write a book about Steve Death now?
Yeah, there's a number of reasons, Martin. His size, you've alluded to, because he was the shortest keeper in the league. And also, until I think Burnley broke it a couple of weeks ago, he'd held the record for the most consecutive clean sheets and minutes, sort of over 1,000 minutes, 1,100 and something. And also the name is an unusual name.
It is.
And I found a lot of people over the years wouldn't say the word Death, so they called him Diath and all sorts of other contortions. And he was, I think, even for Reading fans, which I've been since the late 60s, very few of us have ever heard him speak, because he was famously quiet and reserved. So a bit of a mystery, really. He was, you know, idolised by a few thousand people every week, but he'd play his game, he'd go back home to his family, and a lot of his teammates said we never saw him from one game to the next training session.
Bizarre, isn't it? I mean, sadly, he left us in 2003, so yeah. I mean, he waited quite a long time to tell his story. But interesting character. Apart from being the shortest keeper and having, you know, kept so many clean sheets for Reading, also interesting style, didn't he? I mean, he never wore gloves. There were various, various idiosyncrasies about the way he played as a goalie.
Yes, never wore gloves. He would catch virtually everything, and considering his size again, he had this incredible spring, and he would just, a number of the defenders that played with him I spoke to described turning around, seeing a ball that was bound for the top corner, and suddenly this blur of green would appear and tip it around the post, or more often than not, catch the thing, including catching many crosses one-handed.
Yeah, unbelievable. You normally write books about, you're not actually a football journalist as such, are you, Alan? Because you normally write books about sort of self-help, that sort of thing.
That's right, yes. It's my third book, and I've got a book on for managers, which is my day job. I run a management training company, and a self-help book, as you say. And this one I've kind of had in my head for years. So you mentioned it's over 20 years since his passing. And I just thought, well, let's do it.
You know? Yeah. Well, it's hard. I'm just wondering, management is your thing, as you said. Now, if you're a goalkeeper, I've often heard people say that, Manchester United defenders used to say this, with the confidence that they had in Peter Schmeichel at the back, it was almost as if, that he knew how to organise his defence, etc. I mean, he's not alone in that, David Seaman, loads of others. And I'm just wondering if you, in any way, look at what Steve Death, or do we call him Death or Diath?
Death.
Death,
definitely.
Right. Because there was a guy at the BBC called Diath. It was a producer, but he was always called Diath.
No apostrophe.
No apostrophe, right. So Steve Death at the back. Was he an organiser then? Was he a manager?
No, he was very quiet, and his defence, especially the defence that played in his pomp, said that he would say very little. But they knew that whatever came his way, he would deal with. So that gave them confidence throughout. And he had, mentioned his unusual style. One of the defenders, who was this big 6'4" guy, said, whereas a lot of keepers would rush out to narrow the angle, he would stay on his line because he could then see where the ball was going and use his athleticism to get to it.
Yeah, and he never grew. I mean, he started with West Ham, didn't he? And, you know, to quote Marlon Brando, he could have been a contender because he did play in the West Ham, for West Ham in the First Division, just the one game, but was a schoolboy international. And in fact, kept Peter Shilton out of the England schoolboy team.
He did. Yeah, he played three games for the England schools in 65, kept a clean sheet in every one of them. And yes, kept Shilton out. Shilton was hugely jealous that Death played an away game at Germany in front of 75,000 fans instead of him. And he played the one game, yeah, away at Man City, just after City had won the FA Cup in 69. But kind of everybody knew that was just, you know, it was giving him a game in the First Division before he left, because he never grew.
No, he played with Moorhurst and Peters, and there were hopes at West Ham that he would grow from. But he stayed. Any particular reason why his growth was sort of stunted, if you like?
And I did a little bit of tracing of his family tree, and he had a 5'4" grandfather as well. So it was a genetic thing. And I know Shilton famously stretched himself from his parents' banisters to try and grow. But Death did nothing of the kind. He was a heavy smoker. He disliked training in goal throughout his career, preferred to play outfield six aside, and apparently we just ran around kicking lumps out of people. So he was really totally unconventional as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, a different era for football, because he used to turn up at the training ground with 20 Embassy Regal.
Yes, he did. Yeah, there are stories of him doing cross-country runs and stopping to pull out some fags from his socks and sitting by a river with another player and having a fag.
Quite a character. Do we know, because he died very young, didn't he?
Yeah.
In 2003, would he have only been in his 50s? Do we know what caused his death?
Yes, it was cancer, yes. So, the cigarettes were... they regarded as a funny story by everybody from the time, but obviously had a very serious consequence.
Absolutely did. And you're a Reading fan, so he's a fan favourite with you, clearly. With the rest of the fans, I mean, what did he get the recognition? Reading would have been what, sort of floating around between the third and second division at that stage when he was playing?
Third and fourth, really. Yes.
Did he get the recognition from the Reading fans?
Oh, he did, yeah. I did a launch of the book on Saturday, just gone, at a home game, and the queue for signing the book was phenomenal. And I had people saying, thank you for writing the book and so on, because Reading fans loved him. He played 537 games, second highest number of games from any player in the club's history. Very, very much got the recognition from Reading fans. Quite a few of the clubs he played against as well, fans remember him. He was in the PFA Player Team of the Year a couple of times and so on.
Well, it's good that you've revived memories of a forgotten hero. I think that's the problem with, if you're playing in the lower leagues, you just don't get the recognition. And it's good that you've given this bit of late fame, and it's brilliant for Reading fans.
Yeah, and we need something to cheer us up,
yes,
Martin, at the moment.
You do, don't you? You really, really do. You're sort of teetering on the brink at the moment. So it's great that you've written this and cheered the Reading faithful up. Alan, thanks ever so much for joining us. Do appreciate it.